I am for the one who doesn't do well with a ton of rules and a ton of structure, but knows that there's got to be some structure for things to get done. And she wants that to support her, but then move on and go play and go have fun and be wild and be amazing. That's my mom, and that's me. And that's the kind of person that I'm here to help.
Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully and, in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. Organization and clutter are huge obstacles for ADHD. When my house is cluttered, my mind is cluttered. All that junk takes up a significant amount of mental bandwidth, so I have worked dang hard to get rid of all the things that are not serving me. Now, it's not perfect, but it's pretty good. I want to help you do the same thing. You are in for a treat. Ali Kasaza of the Purpose Show podcast is here to share her wisdom on decluttering and minimalism for moms. Ali's podcast is the very first podcast I ever listened to, actually the one she had before this one. And so she was watering those podcast seeds in my heart at the very beginning. Now, while Ali doesn't have ADHD herself, she was raised by an ADHD mom, is married to an ADHD spouse, and is a mom herself of four kids, and her oldest Bella has ADHD as well. Now, I've gotten to know Ali through her business and podcast mentorship, and I just adore the way she teaches. And you know that as a teacher, I have pretty high standards. Ali's all about figuring out what makes sense for you and your life, and not about doing what everybody else is doing. Her methods are very ADHD friendly, and her love and compassion for our people and how our brains work simply shines through. Now, her first book, Declutter Like a Mother, releases September 7th, and I've already read it, and it's a very easy read that makes sense to my ADHD brain. Ali and I chatted about how we can make our motherhood easier in modern times when support is thin and social media just shows everyone's highlight reels. Ali explains her minimalism philosophy and how clutter is a thief of not just the space in our homes, but of our time and our energy. We also get into the why of decluttering, practical first steps to declutter your home, how to make decluttering fun and build momentum and reward yourself, and then we wrapped up with why it's important to have our kids involved in the decluttering process. So let's get into the good stuff.
All right, mamas, let's welcome Ali Kasaza to the show. You know, I like to just jump right in. So one of my favorite things that you say is let it be easy. And when I first heard you say that, I pretty much was like yelling at my phone, like, but how? Like my brain just couldn't comprehend. And I have made strides now. But why is that saying so hard for moms?
It's funny because even like when I've done things in person or on Zoom where I can see the other people, when I say easy, I mean, there's like this actual bodily reaction in most moms that's like they're tensing up or like pulling away. There's studies that show your body will pull forward a little bit when it's like, oh yes. And like, it's like kind of like the way, you know, it's expanding you. Like this is a yes, you should do this thing. Or you'll kind of almost pull back, even physically move a few inches back, and they move back. And I think it's because, let's think about motherhood culture, especially, you know, what I call hot mess mom culture. Easy is literally like not allowed. If it was easy, you wouldn't be dubbed a very good mom, because who are you to have it be easy? And also, it does feel really hard. It is hard to stay up all night with a baby who won't latch and is colicky, and then continue in the morning with your toddler and pour cereal and, you know, get them ready for school and whatever. That is really, really hard. So it's not the removal of difficulty. There's seasons that it's just really, really hard. But more so, what if we just let go of all the cultural norms and we release that identity? We didn't make that our identity, and we allowed some ease and flow into what motherhood looks like for us, like whatever that looks like for you, whatever your lifestyle is, if you work or stay home, or if you work at home or whatever, if you allowed some ease into that, that could look a lot of different ways for a lot of different people. But it's not that it's all going to be easy. It's all going to be just like fluffy and light and so perfect and simple, and everything is just working, but you're allowing ease into real life. Maybe we can start with easier. If easy is too abrupt for some people, let it be easier. And that's what I do, is I help people make things easier so that they can actually live their lives. They can actually handle when life happens and things hit the fan and things get crazy. They can handle it because they weren't already stretched so thin. So I like to play with the word easy because it's a challenge for moms to receive that. Even the word almost feels dirty, or like, it's never going to be easy. What are you saying? They get like very upset, or they get really like, who am I to have it be easy? You know? So I just think it's interesting to take a look at what it brings up in each of us.
Yeah. When I was flipping through your book, getting ready, you had the whole section about how, like, when people say like new moms, like, this is hard and I'm struggling, everyone just kind of jumps in with like, oh yeah, it's really hard. This motherhood thing is just, this is how it goes. How did we get to this place? I think back and I look at my mom who had 5 kids, and she made it look easy. Like, why is it today that it doesn't feel that way?
Well, I think first of all, there's so many layers to this, but the first thing that comes to mind is for us actually right now, there's social media. And I was just talking with a friend yesterday who's a guy and has no kids. And he was just asking me about like this kind of war with women. And we were just talking about like feminism and all kinds of things. And I was talking about pregnancy and social media and how for me, I had cystic acne all over my face, all over my neck and chest, all down my back. My kids were giant. Giant babies. My back had like sciatica. I was swollen. My face was like twice the size it is now. My arms were just like so puffy, like fluid was just throughout my whole body. I held the weight everywhere. And then you've got social media, and these women are beautiful and everyone is different, but it is very hard when you see just like drinking my green juice in like the sunshine at the beach and my belly only pregnancy, and I'm glowing and I'm tan and I have fluid literally nowhere except inside my uterus. Like, it's just, it's hard. Like, it sucks. You know, they say comparison is a thief of joy, and that is so true, but comparison is also innate right away. It just happens. You just are opening an app to see what's going on with your friends, and you are triggered and put into this automatic comparison. And this happens beyond pregnancy, you know, with the way the house looks and the image. And even though we know that the other side is a mess and that corner looked good. And even when people are honest and real, like, I try to be so honest and real, but I have boundaries, and you're not allowed to see, you know, my dirty underwear, like, whatever, you know? And so it just is a highlight reel. And we know that, but it still affects us, and it is hard. So that is one way I think we've gotten here. And then I think also just in the modern motherhood has so many more expectations on it. I think about like a long time ago, women, they did so much, but there wasn't pulled distractions other than their kids. It was like, I'm going to sew the dress. I'm going to clean the house. I'm going to make sure that we fix that log in the cabin that's got a crack in it and is leaking water. I'm going to make sure I milk the cow. I'm going to make sure that the girls read, and the kids are pulling at them, but that's part of it. And they're all in it together, and the kids are all helping, and there's no school pickup and drop off. And there's no comparing yourself on social media every time you go to check the time on your phone. And then you see an alert that somebody commented on something, and you go and look at their page. And I mean, especially if, and this, I know this show is for women with ADD, ADHD, of course you feel this way. Of course you're distracted. Of course your brain is pinging back and forth. All of ours are in other ways because it's so freaking much. And so I just think like modern motherhood is so beautiful and it is such a gift, but it can also really feel like a curse. It can feel so heavy that you can't breathe. I myself was absolutely depressed when I, you know, years ago when I had my three really, really young ones before I had Emmett. And it was so awful. It was so awful. I was literally every day circling the drain of depression. And I just felt like I was the only one who couldn't get it together. I don't like structure. I don't like rules. I don't want to be told where I have to be and that I have to follow this specific routine. I hate that so much. I want to just live. I want to be free. But everything was falling apart. And I felt like I couldn't win. And so that is modern motherhood. Without support, that is modern motherhood. And that is really freaking hard. So I think that there's so many more layers, but that is a piece of how we got here. And also goes back to your first question of why saying let it be easy pisses so many people off or makes their bodies react like tense. I can't do that. It's impossible. Who am I to have it be easy?
Yeah. I mean, for one, like I vomited all 9 months with both my boys. And yeah. I'm not here posting pictures on Instagram of me on the bathroom floor vomiting. Mm-hmm. We don't see the hard stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes us feel alone because we're sitting here in our misery and all of social media is the highlight reel and not the person vomiting on the bathroom floor every day. So in sharing those struggles, that's where we make connection and grow and can feel like we're not alone.
And that's why too, like we need to have real women in our real lives around us. Like I was just texting with a good friend here and we're both moving out of state in the next week. And we have been trying to get each other our birthday gifts to each other for like 2 months. We have not been able to get together. When we did get together, we forgot the presents. And we've been trying, we live 10 minutes from each other, Patricia. Like this is not hard and we cannot make it happen. So the other night, my husband was like really nervous and like looking outside and like shutting the blinds. Like there's like a person here delivering something at 10 at night. Like what is going on? And she dropped off like my present at the porch and just didn't even say anything because she was just out running late night errands and just dropped the present at the porch and left. And then texted me the next morning like, hey, that's from me, sorry. And then I just had my assistant drop her present off on her way to do errands today. And we were just texting like, I love you so much. It's a mess. It's a total shit show. And I'm sorry, but happy birthday. And like, that is real. Like to be able to have women that we can say like, I literally didn't even wrap this. Happy birthday. Sorry. I threw it at your door and I'm like, yeah, no worries. Like my assistant is dropping yours off. I can't even do it because I'm packing. Like it's to have women like that. This is the same friend that I came over when I was like on my period and so heavy and so sick. And I had this work thing to do. She came over and brought wine and helped me do it. Like social media is not real life. You've got to make connections and you've got to have those friends you can text and call and get out there and create that support system. That's what women need. And then in those circles, being real is also a challenge and it often doesn't happen. So be the one that's vulnerable, be the one that puts your heart out there. And that's how you find those like babe support, babe, real deep, like, oh my gosh, you are my soul sister connection because you were the one that was raw out there until you found your person. I think that is so important for women to have.
Yeah. And it's so scary to be the one who first says, hey, I am a mess and let me open the door to this closet and let you see in as all the stuff falls on your head.
Yes. And also, could you like bring pizza and beer and help me declutter it? Because Allie said I should and I need help.
Yes, we all need those people. And it's hard. It takes vulnerability and it takes the willingness to get rejected. And that's a scary place for us. I think I always thought as a kid, it would get easier to make friends as a grown up. And it almost feels like the opposite.
It's very hard.
But we have to, somebody has to be vulnerable first. If it's not me, then it's them. And if they're looking at me, where do we end up?
Yeah, totally.
Hey mama, have you been over to my website and grabbed any of the free ADHD resources I've got? You can make your mornings more peaceful, overcome time blindness hurdles, learn ways to treat your ADHD beyond the obvious medication option, or grab a copy of all of my favorite ADHD resources on one page. You can snag these all on my website at patriciasung.com/resources, and I'll email you the PDF or the video. Now, don't go putting in your spammy junk email, okay? I'm not gonna send you junk. I email you once, maybe twice a week. For sure, I'll send you a note about this week's podcast topic, and if I'm having a particularly organized week, I might email you again about what's working for my ADHD this week, or venting about whatever executive function disaster happened. Your inbox is where I spill more of the beans. And if you change your mind, you can always unsubscribe, right? Plus, I really love hearing back from you. So write me an email back. Tell me what's going on in your life or what you want to learn about next. So go grab those free goodies and I'll see you in your inbox. So going into on the declutter train here, when you talk about decluttering, I love the analogy that you give about the toaster. I want the mama listening to have that visual while we talk. Can you give us a quick rundown of clutter as a thief? I love that analogy.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say clutter is a thief. It steals from you. It steals your time. It steals your energy. It steals your space. And then when you add it all up and you really look at the effects of it, it's stealing your life. Your time, energy, space, that's your life, your motherhood, your days. People always kind of act like it's super dramatic of me to say that. And so I like to give this analogy because let's just look at it and imagine for a second. So your toaster or your toaster oven, whatever you have in your kitchen or something similar, if you don't have that, a kitchen appliance that just sits there and you use it when you need to use it, but it's really just there. And you wouldn't think like, oh my gosh, like this is stealing so much from me or taking so much from me. It's not really stealing if it's not clutter, and a toaster is not really clutter. But just for the sake of the example, you spend time using it. You spend time cleaning, dumping out the crumb tray, wiping it down, cleaning underneath it and using it. I add it up in the book and I don't have the math in front of me, but it's like, you know, minutes of your life. And then like over a year, it's a lot for the toaster.
Yeah. Well, it was 2 minutes a year. I'm sorry, 2 minutes a week. And then you multiply that by 50.
Yeah. It was like almost 2 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
For a toaster. Yeah. For the toaster. This is just the toaster, your freaking toaster. And so while the toaster is not necessarily clutter, if that is just your toaster, like the most inconspicuous thing in the entire house, in my opinion, think about like every single piece of furniture, every throw pillow, every vase, every sock, every t-shirt, every sweater, every photo, every trophy your kids have brought home, every piece of paper, every paperclip, every pen, every drawer, every nook and cranny closet under the bed. You are not a bad mom. You are not doing this wrong. You are overwhelmed. All of those things are taking up your time. The toaster takes probably the least of everything. So all those books you're constantly putting back, things you're dusting off, things you're moving around, things you're picking up, things you're snapping at your family and yelling, come pick this up. Are you serious? All of this is minutes and moments of your day and pieces of your energy reserve. Your energy tank is only so big, and some people have a bigger tank than others. Mine is actually really small, and I have to be so intentional with what I'm doing. And that is pulling from me. And so you get to the middle of the day and you're just done. You're exhausted. You're cranky. You're the worst person to be around. And you know that, and you hate that about yourself, but you can't change it because your tank is empty. So when we take ownership of our spaces and we decide to get deliberate about what is in our space and what is taking that time, space, and energy from us, we start to replenish our time, which is the unreplenishable resource. Like when time is gone, it's gone, but you can actually give yourself more time in the future through decluttering, which is the coolest thing in the world to me and my favorite part of the job. And also you can give yourself more energy. So to have more space in your home, to have more energy in your body and your mind, and to have more time in your week, like, are you serious? Who is not jumping on board this? And it's just math. It makes so much sense. So I think that it's just really empowering to see, oh my God, even my toaster is taking hours a year. That's not even counting everything else. I am not bad at this. It's just a math game. And I just need to change the numbers so that they're working in my favor. We spend, I mean, whether you rent or own, most people spend the bulk of their budget on the space they live in. Is it even supporting you? Do you even like it there? Is it taking from you? You're paying for something to take your time and your energy. This is backwards. Your home should work for you, not against you.
So I love the idea of minimalism, but when you think about all the work that goes into actually getting rid of all the stuff, it feels really lofty, especially when you're a mom, especially when you have ADHD. Your mind is always going. It's always so full of thoughts. So the concept of less is almost a foreign concept. Like our brains are just so full all the time. So for someone to be like, well, if you have less, you're like, wait, what's less? What is that? I'm not even familiar with the concept. So how do you take this thing that feels almost like unachievable and unattainable? How do you make it real and sustainable for moms to actually get done in real life?
The first thing I want to say is this is not less for the sake of less. And this is my problem with the bulk of the minimalist, even like, I don't even say that I'm a minimalist. I don't even like that word. I use it a lot because it's what most people call the removal of excess stuff. And it's a relatable term, but I don't care about minimalism. I think that's the first line in my book. I don't care about the label. I don't care about the term. I don't care if I'm fitting into that box. I just don't care about it. So if you need to throw that word away and just make this about making things lighter on yourself, then do what you need to do. But I think when we think about that less for the sake of less, or all these people that are like counting your jeans and your books and telling you how much of each thing to have, how hollow, like how legalistic and lame and boring, like that bores me so much. I have no interest in that. But what I really want you guys to understand for everyone listening is this is about less for the sake of more of what you want to do. And I know all of us, but especially those of you with ADD, ADHD, you want to do more of the things you want to do. This gives you freedom to have that pinging around and doing more things and having more fun and not having to have all the balls perfectly balanced in the air all the time. And that pressure being removed, oh my God, it's such a game changer. So think about this as something that you're in control. There's no rules to follow. There's no right or wrong way to do it. There's nothing you could do that's like, oh, well, I really botched this and now I didn't get it done right. Like this, if any progress in this is changing your life and literally gifting you support for you and who you are, support for the family you specifically are raising, and support for you in the way that your brain works, which is the whole point of anything. If it's not going to work for you, it's not a tool. It's handcuffs, and we don't want that. So the second part, having said that, is we want to get super practical and just keep it very, very simple. Do this however you need to do it. Put something in the calendar. Make it a party. I have to make everything fun. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Enneagram, but I'm an 8-wing 7, and my 7-wing rules most of my life. I have to have it be fun. I have to, like, everything has to be fun. So for me, letting the kids play video games in the evening after dinner and pouring myself a glass of wine and bringing my laptop in where I'm going to work and like putting on The Office or some old show that makes me laugh and making it a party or inviting a friend over to join me, something, and just start in the bathroom. The bathroom is a great place to start because most people don't have like really sentimental items in there or anything that's really like heart-wrenching or tough. It's usually like old makeup that's actually, you kind of look at it, you're like, actually, it's kind of gross that I still have this. Like there's microbes growing on it or whatever. It's bacterial. You want to get it out. Broken hair tools that you spent money on and they broke really early and you kind of felt weird throwing it out and thought you'd maybe get it fixed, but never happened. Things that are pretty easy yeses and nos. So make it fun, put it on your calendar, invite a friend, whatever you need to do, maybe involve your kids because you know they're too little to be busy. Have them in there helping you, whatever it is, but just start.
Helping was in air quotes just for you listening.
Helping is always in air quotes because we all know the kids make it take longer, but it's fine. And also side note, having your kids be there when you're doing things like this is actually really beneficial in the long run because you're introducing this relationship with stuff as part of your family culture, which will help your children get rid of stuff down the road when you're ready to tackle their things, which is often really hard. So coming back to the bathroom, it's a great place to start. You're going to feel so much better when that space is clear. you're going to find you have empty drawers, more space. And then if you want to order some cool organization bins and stuff, if that floats your boat, I don't really care about being organized. I just want there to be less mess and just create the space to support you. And that's going to kind of give you that momentum that you need to maybe go on to something that would be a little bit harder, like papers to sort. But always have a way that you're actually going to do it. Reward yourself with something, make it fun like I do, or just bust through it and knock it out and then go do something fun after. But starting where it's easy to build momentum is a huge, huge tip.
So what I hear you saying is that minimalism is so like giving to moms because one, we're taking out all the extra stuff that we really don't need to be putting our time and energy and money and self into. And then we're taking the things that we have, and those are the things that we actually like and enjoy. And then taking out all that excess gives you the freedom to be doing the fun things instead of picking up the toys for the 18th time.
Exactly. Less stuff is less to do and less of the boring stuff to do. And then you can decide whatever you want from there, playing with your kids, starting a business, reading, working out, you know, whatever you want. It's freedom and it's options. Again, it's not about less to follow rules. It's less so that you have freedom to be a person, not follow a perfect routine and not, you know, I need so much structure and it's such a mess and it's so much that I have to be super against my own personality type. That's no way to live. Change it around. Shift your environment so that it is supporting your natural personality, the way your brain naturally works.
So your mom has a lot of ADHD characteristics. Do you think that that influenced how sort of like this system that you have? Do you think that watching her as a mom had an influence on how you create something? Because generally, like, people are super strict about their systems and you seem to be the opposite where you're like, make it work for you, take this and run with it. And it just feels very counterintuitive to what everybody else is telling us to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I've never thought about that. Like if my mom influenced like the way that I teach, maybe. I always thought just because like I mentioned that seven wing, I just don't do good with super structured. I would never be able to follow that. I would maybe get on like a kick and follow it for a little bit and then burn out and let it go because it wouldn't work for me. But yeah, I just remember growing up, like my mom's I don't know if it's ADD, I think it's ADHD. It never really affected me directly. I just know that she was stressed and she struggled and she's told me that so many times. And I've seen her just not really feel able to keep everything balanced, to keep everything together and just like starting something and not being able to finish it. And like more so than normal, you know, according to her. And so I know that that was a big struggle and caused a lot of stress. So yeah, maybe it did influence, but I think really like, I know a couple people in my life that are very like type A and they really need structure. Actually, one of them works for me and she like cannot do what I teach. It does not, the feeling, the flying by the seat of your pants, there's no rules, don't worry about it. Like it just doesn't work for her. And so I think that we just need to recognize that we are all different and we have different strengths and weaknesses. And I am for the one who doesn't do well with a ton of rules and a ton of structure, but knows that there's got to be some structure for things to get done. And she wants that to support her, but then move on and go play and go have fun and be wild and be amazing. That's my mom and that's me. And that's the kind of person that I'm here to help.
Mama, we are going to pause there. When you are ready to take Allie's course, Your Uncluttered Home, and create a home that is peaceful and relaxing and reflects you, my affiliate link is in the show notes. By using my affiliate link, you are supporting the podcast financially, which allows me to continue to bring you this fabulous podcast for free. So thank you for using my affiliate link and supporting the show. The link is bit.ly/noclutter with a capital N. So that's bit.ly/NOCLUTTER. bit.ly/noclutter with a capital N. Now, make sure that you have hit the subscribe button so that part two shows up on your phone right away when Allie and I dive into the questions that you asked in our Facebook community. Talk to you soon, successful mama. For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.